So welcome, this is the Sikh Coach Podcast, this is Avtar Singh, and this is 2022, and it's been a bit of a gap in some podcast episodes, but because of COVID and all sorts of things going on, I think it's always good to take time out, but we're back, and we've got our first guest who's in person with us today, so it's a real good first for us, and today I want to introduce Ranjit Singh Shubh to the show. Welcome to the podcast.
Sat Sri Akal, Paji.
Sat Sri Akal.
And Sat Sri Akal to any Sikh Punjabi listeners out there. It's been great to finally get this moment to be doing this podcast on your show. We've been trying to work it out for a little while
we
now.
We have, yeah.
But yeah, it's due to pandemic and stuff, it couldn't happen. But I'm just glad it's finally happening.
Yeah, definitely. It's a pleasure to have you here today. And I think, like you say, some things are better wait. You know, you wait and you have the in-person experience rather than the 2D Zoom.
Patience
video
is key, as they say. Yeah,
I think everyone's fatigued around video conferencing now, anyway. So
yeah, like, exactly.
We have to now get used to talking to people.
Definitely. I think the face-to-face thing will always be the best thing, I find.
Yeah.
You know, it's all about energy, and it's all about, you know, exchanging that energy and being. Just having that opportunity to socialize face to face is a big thing, and everybody's learned now. When it isn't around that opportunity, then how it feels and stuff. So
yeah,
good to be back to kind of normal, as to say.
Yeah, as normal could be.
Yeah, exactly.
Or the new normal, as they say.
Yeah.
So brilliant, cool. So for the guests that may not know who you are, I think it'd be good for you to give a brief introduction. And who is Ranjit Singh Shubh?
Yeah. No. Well, as you said, my full name is Ranjit Singh Shubh. I'm currently 36 years old. I was born and brought up in East London from a very traditional Sikh Punjabi family, I would say. And I've been in the acting and the creative game for about 15 years now. I've been part of projects such as commercials, short films, film, TV, stage. And I've got a diploma in film and TV studies from Brunel University, and also have trained for a diploma in acting for screen at Actor Prepares, which is an acting school mainly based in Mumbai, but they have other branches around India, and it's headed by Indian industry's film veteran or legend, as they say, Anupam Kher.
Yes.
So most people may know him who watch Bollywood films. Mm. If you don't watch Bollywood films, then you probably remember his face from Bendela Beckham. He plays the father to Paminda Nagra.
Yes.
So, yeah. So, it's just, that's what I'd say about myself.
Wow. Brilliant. Cool. So, I think the narrative online says actor, producer, writer. And, you know, it's really good to see that, you know, to hear about the influence of the early age around music and the involvement that you said in the family sort of environment from mm-hmm. that. So what led you down the path of acting? Like, what was the inception, the seed? You know, from that era, there wasn't a lot of people looking like us, you know, in terms of beards and like any sort of English type of media and stuff. And what we saw was very limited to somebody in the background, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if you ever seen that Twitter thing account, Looker Singh.
That's
how far we're
very familiar. Yeah.
Far as we got was, oh, look, that guy, you know, the Sikh guy in the background or the Sikh person there.
Yeah.
So how did the whole thing start? Like,
if I think back now, it's been quite a long journey, but if I go back to the beginning, I think I remember when we were in secondary school, and I think it started all from there. I mean, before that, I used to be just like any other Punjabi kid. We used to watch all the films and Bollywood, Hollywood, Punjabi films and stuff, so I used to always enjoy that.
Yes.
But when I started first understanding my passion for acting was in secondary school, because I remember we were in year 8 and my school was introducing drama and theatre studies as a subject. And I remember very clearly when they introduced it, me and my friends were thinking, okay, this is going to be a great DOS. You know, this is going to be an opportunity to, you know, just muck about and do whatever. I mean, at the end of the day, what is drama? And it's going to teach us, you know, about the future. So it was, we were looking forward to it in that sense. But I remember it was when we first started, and it was our first lesson. We had a new teacher coming in, Mr. Jones. His name's Craig Jones. And I remember as soon as we had the first lesson, I was just blown away. It was just immediately. I was just I was just blown away by what he was teaching, how he was teaching it, and just the things that the tasks we were given. And it was a very different experience for me. But I remember, obviously, like you said, there weren't many people of Sardars or Punjabis or Sikh people who were in the game. So I remember coming out, it was like I had two kind of faces on, where in front of my friends I was going, yeah, that was a good DOS and that. But then inside I was like, that is actually something different, something really that really hit me. So I think it all started from there, to be very honest. And I would always give that credit as my first and biggest inspiration as my drama teacher, Mr. Craig Jones. And he really changed things for me and made me realize that there's something out there which is a craft that can be learned, you can train in, and something that he thought I was very good at from the get-go. So
Wow. So yeah, big shout out to
Craig Jones,
Craig Jones, yeah. So I think that's a really important thing. Like, we don't give teachers enough credibility that they can
definitely.
spark these
We
things
tend
and
to forget about them and what they've given us in our life. And definitely, he's one person I would never forget. I think it all started from him, and I'd like to definitely take this opportunity to thank him as well.
Awesome. So how did the like you said, the whole thought process around drama, and I think I resonate with that, because when I had drama in school, it's like, what is this subject? All I've ever been taught about, even from home, is like, be good at maths, be good at science, be good at business, all that stuff,
They're the important
the
subjects,
staples. And they were like, drama? Like, it wasn't even on the agenda. That, yeah, it felt like, what is this playtime kind of thing?
Exactly.
So I never took it seriously. But like you said, if there was an inspiring teacher that made you see the value of it. And we grew up same, watching movies and stuff
100%,
and doing dramatical stuff at
just
home.
like anybody,
It's anybody. So it feels like a bit of a missed opportunity in our culture, which is probably not the only thing. But how did that fit in with, the cultural identity of, like, what is drama,
I mean,
within
it
the
was
community?
difficult, because like I mentioned in the beginning, I come from a very traditional Sikh Punjabi family. My father, he was a gyani most of his life, and he still does kirtan. And I used to help out. I played the tabla, very basic, I would say. And I used to play the tabla in the Gurdwara quite a bit. But so I come from a family, a background where acting, entertainment, nobody even had a clue, or nobody was even involved in at all. So it was quite difficult for me to kind of convince my parents and my family that this is okay, this is something I would like to do and take forward. But I believe Mr. Jones, he when it came to parents' evening, then that used to be a subject or a table I always used to keep an eye on. Oh, I need to take my parents or my elder sisters to that table, definitely, because I can't wait for them to hear what I'm like as a student from him. So it was a bit of a task, and I'm not gonna lie, it was basically very difficult for them to understand. I don't think they still understand. They come from that kind of generation where it's a very different kind of mentality towards the entertainment side of
Industry,
things. So I mean, I've done it during GCSEs, I've done it during A levels, but for my parents, it was like, okay, that's where it stops. And then now start thinking about, your law degree, or now start thinking about business and management. So what happened after that is, once I finished school, I left it. And then during university, when I was studying film and TV at Brunel, I basically had an opportunity. A friend of mine, Hassan Khan, who is a very good friend and one of the best actors I've ever worked with. He was involved in the industry, and he's well known in the Pakistan industry right now. And he's basically came to me and said, look, there's an opportunity out there, and I think you should go for it. And I was sitting there thinking, you know what, you mad? I've basically left this. If somebody at home finds out that I'm back into
I'm
it,
done for.
then yeah, I'm done for. So but then it was just something, just I believe a lot of people say it, but I think there was an inner voice in me that wanted to kind of experience it again. So this was like 4 years after, and so I was basically, I was there was something in me just said, let's go, let's just see what this is, let's just audition, even if it's for fun. So I went, and I ended up in that bagging a role, and it was one of the main leads in the drama aspect of it. And It was from there on, and while I was doing uni at the same time,
Yes.
I was attending rehearsals. So,
Wow.
and the funny thing is, I didn't tell anybody at home that I'm attending these rehearsals,
Yes.
so I kept it to myself. And after a few months, at home, they started realizing, okay, he's not going university.
Yes.
He's there's something else going on here. So you can't really get away with it as well with your
Yeah.
own. So they finally discovered that I was actually attending these rehearsals,
Yes.
and it was an opportunity to work and perform at the Royal Albert Hall.
Oh, wow.
So I was at the Royal Albert Hall performing one of the main leads there, with a production company called Flex Effects Productions, by Naz Chowdhury. And that's where I believe it all changed forever, as to
Yes.
say, because I remember I said to my parents, "Look, I'll finish the degree and everything. Let me
Yes.
just deal with this. Let me just do this one project. And after this, I'll just get on with my degree and do whatever you want me to and
Yes.
stuff." So I remember the night came for the performance, and it was a full house in Royal Albert Hall, and I was about, I think about, must have been hitting 20 or something.
Okay.
And for a 20-year-old, it was a big opportunity as
It's
well.
huge, yeah.
So I just basically, on the first night of the performance, I remember the feeling of being on stage again,
Yes.
and performing. And I always knew, after leaving it in sixth form, that how much I loved it. I loved being on stage and loved doing acting. But I think it was that night, I realized how much I missed it.
Yes.
So after that night, it was just, I just thought, okay, in the morning, I'm gonna go downstairs, sit my parents down, sit my family down. And I did do that, and I told them, "Look, I had an experience yesterday on stage, and I need to do this as a career. So I'm dropping out of university, and I'm getting on with
You
it."
dropped the
So
bombshell,
yeah,
basically.
I dropped a bombshell. Yeah, and it was quite a bombshell. It didn't really go down well. It wasn't exactly in their plans, and but I mean, it took a bit of time to convince them, and
Yes.
I still don't think they're completely convinced now either. But it was one of those moments where it was either now or never,
Yes.
and I'm glad, very glad I took that opportunity, and I had the courage to finally speak up.
Yeah. So what was so I think there's a couple of things like
Yeah.
important lessons there. Like what was the largest audience you sort of were in front of prior to that Royal Albert Hall?
Before
You said
Royal Albert
sixth form,
Hall,
really?
yeah, sixth form, you're talking about 10, 15 people.
Wow. So
I'm
like the
talking about I was part of the school productions, you
Yes.
could say, and I done like Sweeney Todd and stuff. You could say about 50 people max.
Yes.
But then when we're talking about 50 people, we're also talking about, parents of students
Yes,
included, and so there's familiar faces in there.
exactly,
But
yeah.
in terms of complete strangers,
Yeah.
The Royal Albert Hall was the actual first experience, yeah. And I think Royal Albert Hall is like a 4,000
Yeah,
capacity,
I've
something
been
like
there.
that.
That's what I mean. I've been there for a few sort of shows and stuff.
Yeah.
And I was like, I feel intimidated sitting there. Just in the
Yeah.
audience,
Yeah.
like, wow, you could see everyone in the round, sort of the rows and
That's
stalls
right.
and
Yeah.
stuff.
Yeah.
And like, I felt intimidated sitting there watching,
Yeah.
even though we're going to watch somebody else, and I'm thinking,
Yeah.
wow, going from like sixth form,
Yeah,
like
no, like
stage
they say,
stuff to like that. Wow.
if you really want something, it
So how
doesn't
did
really
you
matter.
like were you nervous? How did you manage that? And sort of was it the people you were with, the rehearsals that gave you
Yeah.
confidence? What was it that sort of got you from there to there? Was this that passion that you knew
I think the best
was
way
stopping?
I would describe that night or that moment is more than nervous, I was A, very curious to see if 4 years later I was even good enough,
Yes.
or have I lost it, or was it just a phase then I was going through?
Yes.
So I was very curious, and I was very, very excited, because it was just like, finally, I'm getting to do what I thought I loved. And
Yes.
today's going to confirm that, because if I get really nervous and I start trembling or
Yeah.
shaking in front of 4,000 people, then it's not for me, maybe.
Yes.
But I remember very clearly that the 4,000 people thing didn't really it didn't really hit me in a negative way. It actually had a positive impact on me, and it was just it was a feeling that I think I can only describe as exciting and fulfilling, satisfying. Yes. But it was, I would say, more curious and than nervousness.
Yeah,
curiosity was definitely a factor.
Do you think like because you got this spark of drama, like I think there's a distinction between like if you have a passion for something, it's a different kind of nerves, because it's actually something you want to do.
Exactly.
But it's stepping up in the game.
That's right.
Whereas sometimes if you're doing something that you're not really into, it's nerves because it's like, you know, I'm not really confident, but I'm doing this stuff. So it feels like there's a distinction between those two things when it resonates from within.
Yeah, 100%.
That it's not seen as something that you're forced to do. It's like something, oh, right, I'm doing this.
I agree.
It's a different platform.
It is, yeah.
But I'm still going to do it because it's this chances don't come around, you know, that often.
Yeah, 100%.
Well done for that.
Thank you.
It's a real like amazing going from that to that. So then, after the whole dropping the uni thing, then what was the journey like after that? When you thought, right, that's it, I'm in this space now.
Yeah.
Where do you go? Because there's like, I can imagine there's a lot of barriers.
Exactly.
A lot of challenges.
Of course.
For you especially, wanted to keep the identity and everything you're doing.
Yeah.
And also, I guess the thing around theatre and then transitioning into sort of bigger projects on film and stuff. Yeah. Like, what was that like?
I mean, after doing the Marka, is which what the show was called in Royal Albert Hall.
What was your role in that one?
It was basically it was a show that consists of different kind of expressive fields.
Okay.
So there was a bit of modeling, there was a bit of dance, a lot of dance, and then there was a section of a drama play.
Okay.
And that was based around already known characters from Bollywood films. It was basically you could say inspired by a lot of characters we've already seen, and my one was inspired by, I'm not sure how many listeners know of Munna Bhai, played by Sanjay Dutt.
Yes.
So it was inspired by that, and it was involving a lot of Hindi as well, performing in Hindi. So I speak Hindi and Punjabi fluently as well. So that wasn't a problem. If anything, it was quite fun. But from there on, once that happened, I basically started looking into how can I now pursue this as a career, and what are the things I need to do. And I always remembered with Mr. Jones, Craig Jones, is he always used to say training is very important.
Yes.
Whether you, doesn't matter how you do it or where you do it, but the basic training is very important when it comes to, because it's a craft, it's a skill.
Yes.
And you need to have that at least basic level. So I remember at the time there was an acting school that popped up within my research, and it was Actor Prepares. Mm-hmm. And it was run by Anupam Kher, who's a Bollywood veteran. I just thought, there was something in me thought that if I say Actor Prepares at home, they still may understand that, because may go down better than saying, you know, RADA, because they haven't gotten any kind of reference there with RADA and the Royal Academy of Dramatic Arts. And if I say I'm going Lee Strasberg in New York or something.
Yes.
So I just thought, mentioning Anupam Kher, there'll be something there to relate to. Mm-hmm. And somewhere I believe Actor Prepares was trying to do is bridge the gap between Hollywood acting and Bollywood acting, and opportunities for people who are foreign from India and foreign with the language and stuff, and trying to train them for Hindi films, which is a very different style as well at that time.
So that was around what, 15 years ago?
Yeah, I think 2008, 2009. Yeah.
Okay.
So then I basically did that, and said, I need to train. I need to go and check out this school.
Yes.
So they agreed, and then they started a journey of Actor Prepares and getting my diploma in acting and training. And there was many, many different aspects to that as well, where we were learning dance, we were learning acting for screen mainly, acting for stage, and a lot of different things there. And then from there on, I went to experience Mumbai, and I went to Mumbai.
That was part of the.
That was part of, yeah.
How long was that study for then?
It was over about 6 months altogether. Mm-hmm. And it was a diploma. It's classed as a diploma in acting for screen. And we went to Mumbai and everything and had an experience there with the market over there, as to say.
Okay.
So that was, yeah, that was an experience as well.
So with an Upanka like leading this thing,
yeah,
did you get to meet any other sort of celebs or people from the industry?
Yeah, many times. Yeah, it was. With Actor Prepares, we got introduced to many directors and actors and celebrities from India, which was a nice experience, a very nice experience. But I think it wasn't the main thing that drew me towards the course.
Yes.
So I remember I was very focused on, okay, I need to just, you know, do my work and stop getting, you know, too excited that the, you know, I have, I don't know, a huge star in front of me and stuff.
Yes.
And that's exactly what they teach as well. I mean, they're stars. They're just people like us as well who are doing what, you know, everybody else loves to see and stuff. So
it's like, even when you think about it, like even though in Bollywood, especially in Bollywood and stuff, you get families creating, you know, their kids become actors.
Nepotism, as they say. Yeah,
but then they all go to like the schools as well, don't they?
Some of them do, some of them maybe not so much. And the result is always there. You can see who's a trained actor, who's not. It's pretty obvious. But I mean, there's a lot of discussion right now more than ever about nepotism is the term they use a lot in Bollywood, where opportunities are only given to sons and daughters of producers, but which I personally don't have a problem with. My problem would probably be, is the person talented?
Yes.
You know, if the person who wants to be an actor is talented, it doesn't really matter what the background is. You know, as long as they can produce the goods, as long as you know, you're watching the screen and you're convinced that wow, what a talent, you know,
exactly,
then there's no problem. The problem is when, you know, when they can't act, or when you find, okay, that is a very terrible actor there, who gave him the opportunity, then you kind of question the whole system. But
and the thing about the Bollywood film industry is just so huge that even terrible talent gets
it does yeah,
you see what
but
I mean?
Then I suppose that's in every industry
it
as
is,
well.
Yeah.
I mean, there's plenty of really bad English actors as well, so you know, Hollywood is not just full of talent, you know, honestly. Like, you get it everywhere, so it's not really bothered me anywhere. You're like, if you're born into a family, great, you know, use that use that platform. Use one, by all means, do what you want to do. You know, just taking away somebody's dream, just because they're from a certain family, that's quite unfair.
Exactly. All right. So then, after doing the diploma, then so what was the journey after that? So where did it lead you? What path did you go down? And
so after doing the diploma and having a bit of experience in Mumbai, I basically came back to the UK. And I started looking into now working and trying to make this into a career. So I started doing various projects. I started off doing commercials.
Mm-hmm.
There was Tango's and McDonald's, and there was all sorts.
Beecham's. Cricket one as well.
There's
was
a cricket
it?
One. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So there was. I started getting into that, and then I started from commercials. I started making the transition to short films, and there was quite a few short films I did. Which was great, and this is all in English, by the way. From short films, I started transitioning to film and TV. So it was basically a journey of working in different kinds of projects, different kind of mediums, and trying to basically explore as much as I can and grow as much as I can.
That's really good. So I think the one thing like that sticks out from that is like, I might have a dream. Like, you want to be a movie star,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But people just see that dream.
Yeah.
And they get so focused on the dream that I must get a role.
They get blinded, yeah.
I must be a hero, I must be a role, a heroine, whatever. Yeah. That's the be-all, end-all.
I want to be the next Arnie or...
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. But even the Arnies had to go through...
Of course, 100%, yeah.
All these different things to get there.
Exactly, and day yeah. It didn't work. Just fall on their
so
lap.
So you were quite aware of the journey. Because I guess you understood that you wanted to do training first.
100%,
you,
yeah.
You had this Royal Albert Hall,
yeah.
Like experience, you know, once in a lifetime experience to get you back into that mindset.
Yeah.
And then after that, you did the training, you know, so you knew, it seemed like well-grounded in the sense that, I, you know, some people could say, I made it to Royal Albert Hall. What's next? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You could have done that.
Yeah.
But something
for me, it was just, okay, can I even do this?
Yeah, for something, you went back to like, you know, grassroots to say, right, let me go and focus on my skills and knowledge and experience for that diploma.
I mean, I think that's really important. It depends as well. The big question somebody who's maybe getting into it now is, the question you want to ask yourself is, why do you want to do it in the first place? You know, if it's just fame and you want, and you're attracted by the glamour, the glitz and glamour, and then there's other ways of being famous.
Yes.
You know, you don't have to just be an actor.
Yeah.
If it's actually you're passionate about the craft, then you got to tell yourself that, okay, I've got to train for this, because acting, I find the mistake people make is they think acting is not an activity. It's a craft, and you wouldn't tell somebody who wants to play an instrument that go and pick it up and it will start playing itself. Or you know, you have to put in those hours learning about the craft. And a lot of people say that with acting, a lot of the craft is learned on set, which is true to a certain extent. But when you get to that set, you need some kind of basic understanding as well what you're doing. You can't. Unless you're producing the film yourself and you're investing in it, you can't afford to just go on that set and expect the director to teach you acting. I mean, he's got his own role.
Yes.
You're being brought on that set as an actor because, you know, there's some kind of expectations there for you to know acting.
Yeah.
So going in there completely blind is just, I think, foolish, as to say.
Yeah, preparation is key, as I say.
It's key,
You can never ever be prepared. Well, you can prepare as much as possible, but like, you can't expect just natural ability or hitting one.
I mean,
two
some people do have that. Yeah. There are people out there who have become great without even training, but don't expect yourself to be that person.
Yes.
You know, if it happens, it happens. And if you are that great, then let it happen. Mm. But you do your bit.
Even if you have natural ability, that can then take you to another
100%. It will only enhance it.
So preparation is key. So you went through that path and then you planned your route. So you've gotten down these adverts, commercial bits, is starting to get, you know, in this has your main role, you know, to do that. So that's really amazing. So was it hard to get into the advert stuff? And like, is it like, how did you approach it? Is it mainly using agencies or networking contacts?
Unfortunately, when I got started about 10, 15 years ago, the only way to get into it or onto those sets was through an agent. There was no other way unless you knew people. And because I didn't come from any background, as to say, there was no nepotism going on in my family.
It's quite the opposite, isn't it?
Exactly.
You shouldn't be doing this.
So
I
had to basically find myself an agent, convince them that, I do know my job.
Yeah.
I can be useful to you. I have something to offer. So
in that time, it was just difficult to get an agent in the first place because...
Oh, yeah, 100%.
You don't fit the bill of the typical people.
Yes, That's been an ongoing issue, I find, within the industry over here. And it's no secret to anybody now with so much talk about diversity and stuff. So there was always that issue. To be honest, to a certain extent, it still is there, that issue. When I started out, there was literally nobody who was, I could say, the torchbearer or an ideal person who was a sardar, who was a Sikh man with a turban and beard, who was on commercial or mainstream TV, leading the way for me to reference. So they didn't have a reference. I didn't even have a reference. So yes. that was the difficult
bit. You were creating the reference.
Yeah, I was. Yeah, exactly. I was creating my own reference in that sense. I'm the only person who can kind of, I've got myself, that's it. Yes. So that was always an issue, and it still is to a certain extent as well. There still needs to be a lot of work done within that, within the industry about that. Diversity is a very big issue, and I think a lot of people are talking about it now, and things are starting to change, but it's still slowly. Takes time, yeah, it's,
it I takes seem time. Like there's some BAME specific agencies now.
Yeah, there is.
I think organizations are a bit more aware. Like
that's right.
The customers are more aware.
Yeah, exactly.
Where's my representation?
Exactly.
There?
I mean, the dangerous thing about that is it's great that people are talking about it. It's great that we have BAME agencies working towards it. But then it shouldn't just become box ticking.
It's not tokenism.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It should be happening organically, genuinely. People want to cast somebody because they're great at that role.
Yeah.
Not just because, okay, fits, you know, now we need a brown person.
Yes.
Or
yeah.
Now we need a Sikh male, you know. Or now we need
somebody with
exactly,
headwear.
Exactly, yeah. It will look more diverse on screen or, you know, like, no, that... We need to kind of get out of that mentality.
Yeah. It's still got to be credible.
It's still 100% got to be credible. Yeah.
You don't want to... And the challenge was that, again, comes down to pipeline.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
you know, people wanting to, from that community, all these diverse communities, wanting to invest in the next generation to become trained and go into these things, right? It's like there was an example where... In the charity world, we got policy people, and most policy people are just white, right? But when they went into the statistics, nobody had any interest in going into policy.
Yeah.
Because they saw it and they thought, actually, that's not me. I don't know what it is.
Exactly.
What is policy, you know?
Exactly.
So you're almost missing the pipeline.
Yeah.
And it's going to take a while for that to grow. I guess with social media stuff, it's
unlocking exactly. It is. Social media has been a big thing.
Your talent and stuff.
That has helped. That
escalated.
Has helped a lot.
And video editing, you just need a smartphone.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
short
I mean,
now and stuff.
Like when I was doing my struggle and when I was trying to get heard by the industry, it was a case of it come to a point where I started creating my own content as well.
Yes.
And I wanted to do something a bit more like what was out there already on that level. So I got together with a friend of mine and we created like a sitcom and it was called Bangers and Cash.
Yeah, I saw that online. I was going to ask you about that because I was like, right, actor, producer, and then comedy as well.
It was something I created with an actor friend of mine, and we created the whole story, and it was just literally over breakfast, over a fry up.
Okay.
And we just started sitting there and observing, you know, the calf.
Yeah.
And we started sitting there thinking, you know, how many characters, you know, on a daily basis walk into the calf, and you know, you get all sorts, like from, you know, your builder bums and you get all sorts of your old grannies and you know, it's just like teenage boys, girls. You just get such a diverse...
The whole spectrum.
The whole spectrum is there.
Yeah.
So we started creating something along those lines based in a cafe. And it was called Bangers and Cash. Yeah. And then through that, we shot the whole pilot episode. Okay. And once we shot the whole pilot episode, we started kind of dishing it out to, as you say, to festivals and competitions. And we actually got an invite from Montreal. It was Just for Laughs Festival.
Yes.
And this is one of the biggest comedy festivals around globally.
Yes.
So we got an invite, and I remember it was just randomly we were just putting it through to any kind of competition we could find, and then that came back, and then we flew out there. We out of around, I think it was 4,000 or 5,000 entries, we got down to the last five.
Wow.
We got the opportunity to go out there, be a part of the finals. Didn't get the final prize of being commissioned and everything, but it was a great experience.
I mean, from 4,000 entries to the top five, that's
exactly and I think that's important right now, because if you find that the opportunities are not out there, then try to create your own if you can.
Yes.
You know, if you can get together with somebody and create something, then that was what I felt was the right thing to do.
I think there's a thing around, I always talk to people that are looking to sort of progress in their careers or do something. I'm like, right, you got to hit the rate, you got to make a blip on the radar, right? If you don't even make a blip, no one's going to know, because not
100%.
everybody is looking for you. They're
Exactly.
not looking for you. You're
Exactly.
going to have to make some sort of blip on that radar and then let it ripple, and somebody's going to be, ah, ping. You see what I
That's
mean?
right.
So you were
That's right.
throwing this thing pilot out that you created, and it hit.
Exactly.
But if you didn't, if you gave up after,
If I, yeah, I could have just sat there and watched
after
it on
rejections and
TV,
stuff.
whatever I want to say. I could
So
have watched the
yeah,
same thing on TV.
there's this thing about consistency and pushing outside your
Just
comfort zone.
trying everything, giving it all, giving it your all. Like, whatever.
100%.
If you feel like you've got some kind of understanding in
Yes.
writing or creating, then use that.
Yeah, make it,
And
put it out there.
don't sit there and think about, but is it going to get me the result? It's, and the important thing is the journey
Exactly.
and what you do during that journey and how you approach every step on the way. So it's important.
Yeah, exactly. So brilliant. So you got to go to Montreal. You got the sitcom produced. Another tick in the box of achievement. So then, so how did you sort of go and get into the film industry part?
That was it was through a lot
Actually, I
of
think before that, there was the British. Well, I guess it kind of falls under TV, the EastEnders and that part.
EastEnders. I was part of EastEnders. There was a guest role,
Yes.
a guest appearance in EastEnders. It was basically one episode. And I don't do politics and I don't do Jesus.
Where's Babe? The old bird that lives here.
You're from housing benefit?
She's our aunt.
Close family then. She moved about 3, maybe 4 weeks back.
Well, did she say where she was going?
You sure you're not from housing benefit?
This is stupid.
But she said something about Ramsgate. And based what happened, that was through a different way actually.
Okay.
I had an agent and everything, but at the time, just like I said, you need to try different ways and avenues, as long as you're not breaking the law.
So one of the things, I guess, for those listeners who may not know what EastEnders are, for international people or people who don't watch it, I
You're
grew up,
living under a rock.
I grew up pretty much watching it religiously as a youngster, because it was one of the major drama series, and it's still running to this day. So it's a really successful UK drama called EastEnders.
And so what happened with that was, I had an agent at the time, but I was also trying different avenues. And there's another thing that actors can do that happens on a regular basis is our workshops. And people who are casting directors often run these workshops. So it's an opportunity for you to access casting directors if you don't have the access through agents and stuff. So you normally pay up. And then you go into those workshops and they kind of give you an opportunity to show what you're about. So I attended one of these workshops and it was by Roland Beckley, and he was one of the casting directors of EastEnders at the time, and he has been for a little while with the BBC. And I attended the workshop, I performed, and he really, really enjoyed it. And the call for EastEnders didn't actually come until 4 years later. 4 years after
Oh,
that,
wow, really?
four years after attending that workshop. And then I randomly get a message from my agent saying a casting director got in touch and they're looking for you. And it happened to be Roland Beckley, whose workshop I attended that time. So it was it just shows that there's other ways of it,
At that point, you were probably
coming
think
through.
at that point, you were probably thinking, probably wasn't even on your mind
No,
that
by
this
that
thing
time I had
is long
forgotten I even
distance.
attended that workshop. I
So
completely forgot.
that seed you invested
Yeah,
4 years
exactly.
ago come
And that's what
fruition.
the important thing is. It's the seeds, that you plant or put together. And it was surprising. It really wasn't on my mind, or
Yeah, must have been
but
quite a
only
surprise.
after I remember once I was casting and I shot for it and everything, then I had a conversation with Roland, and he mentioned that same workshop, and he said ever since that time I always knew that you had something in you, and I was impressed. Mm. I was just looking for the right kind of platform,
yes,
and opportunity where I could bring you in. And the moment they said, "Okay, we've got something here,"
yeah,
then immediately he thought of me from that workshop and got in contact.
Awesome. So that was only for one episode.
Yeah, that was a guest part. Yeah,
guest part. Okay, because I guess like that paved the way.
Yeah,
for the future Sikh families and
the
need for
I don't like to take that credit, but I think that's a bit too much credit you're giving me there. But yeah,
look, it's all right from an audience perspective, right? It's no matter how short that was,
yeah,
but it's something that people then becomes normal.
Yeah,
it has to become normal, because before that you used to see the one uncle in the background walking around randomly buying stuff,
respect to that uncle who's always been there,
but exactly, yeah.
I always had stubbornness that if I'm going to be part of EastEnders I have to talk.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so
I need a
whenever
scene.
Whenever we used to see that, we said, oh, why is he in the background? Can you just give him a small part? So I guess it's like that was the inception. You've seen a Sikh in EastEnders in the background, and now you've seen somebody with a talking part.
Yeah, and now, yeah, exactly. Now you've seen, have it on a regular basis. We've got a regular character there, so it's good. Yeah, great. It's awesome.
You almost, you're part of a journey to help others come into that part as well. So brilliant. So cool. So then you there's other larger sort of platforms that you managed to get on, roles and stuff. You want to talk about some of the film type of things? How did you get into the film pieces? And
When I was doing, like I mentioned, Bangers and Cash, while we were shooting for Bangers and Cash, and we were shooting for it in East London, one of the assistant directors came up to me on set, and who we had been working with for a little while for Bangers and Cash, and he kind of had this smile on his face, and I said to him, what are you smiling about?
Yes.
Like, something up, what's going on? And he goes, he goes, it's funny, where there's this film being shot right now,
yes,
and it's called The Black Prince, and it's the first English movie to be shot about Maharaja Daleep Singh.
Yes.
And I'm actually assisting on that too. And he goes, I was with the producer and the director last night, trying to, doing a bit of prep work for it.
Yes.
Because immediately after Bangers and Cash, he was going to move on to that project.
Ah.
So I said to him, all right, cool. It sounds great. Like, awesome. And he goes, I was just sitting there doing my prep. And in the background, I could see that they were watching something on their laptops, and they were very invested in whatever they were watching, and then he said, all of a sudden I just hear a very familiar voice coming from the laptop, and immediately it just kind of struck me that that's Ranjit, who I'm working with now. So he goes I went to the laptop to see what they were watching, and they were watching my stuff on their laptop, and he said that they asked me, like, you know what, we should get hold of this guy. He's, I think we've got something there for him.
Yes.
And he's brilliant at what he does. And we would love to meet him. Do you know how we could get in touch? And and Vikrant, who was the assistant director, he started laughing. And he said, look, I'm actually working with him right now. something he's produced and written himself and starring in. So they were like, okay, well, when you go tomorrow, make sure, you have that word and then call him in.
Speak to him.
So then I got told, and then I went to meet Gavi, who was the director of The Black Prince, and had a meeting. And from there, I got offered a role in The Black Prince, and I was playing Thakur Singh.
Yes.
And for those who don't know, Thakur Singh is a person who takes Maharaja Daleep Singh back to Punjab after being brought up in London. So he kind of takes him back to his roots.
Yes.
And the story is about that. So I play Thakur Singh. And it was funny because when they told me the role, I was aware and I was thinking, how are they going to pull this off? I'm about 30 years old and I need to play somebody who's like a 70-year-old.
Yeah.
Have you got the right guy? Are you sure? Like, there's not another Ranjit Singh Shubhat Day they were watching. But then they said, no, we think you can do it well.
Yes.
You definitely know your work and stuff. So, and I was excited, thinking, you know what, that's going to be a great opportunity to play somebody who's a 67-year-old and double my age.
Yeah.
So it was exciting. Yeah.
And I guess for the context of people who may not have seen The Black Prince, it was a story about Maharaja Ranjit Singh, the last sort of king of Punjab, and how his son Dilip Singh was brought over to the UK,
yep.
to London, at an early age. But then it was a revival of his culture and upbringing.
That's right,
yeah. And need to bring back to Punjab to sort of look after, you know, the sovereign nature of Punjab. And your role would have been pivotal in that Tarkar Singh, convincing him that, you know, there's a need for your people to come back.
ਪੰਜਾਬ ਰਾਜ ਦਾ ਵਾਰਿਸ ਖਾਲਸਾ ਉੱਠੇਗਾ ਖਾਲਸਾ ਨੂੰ ਮਕਸਦ ਦੀ ਲੋੜ ਹੈ ਖਾਲਸਾ ਨੂੰ ਤੁਹਾਡੀ ਲੋੜ ਹੈ
so yeah if anybody hasn't seen that, do check out that. How is it then to meet like the other people, the other actors at that level, filming, you know, got Satinder Sardar, you play the main lead.
Yeah.
He's obviously from singing background. So he's, I don't know if he had any acting background prior to that.
From my understanding, I don't think he did have any acting background other than music videos.
Yes.
That he produces and himself for his own tracks.
His own, yeah.
So I think that was his first major role.
Yes.
And he was basically had the main role. So he had great responsibility. There was Roop, who was also part of the Josh band, people might know him from, and he's done a bit of acting.
Yes.
He was playing Arul Singh.
Yes.
And it was great, just, you know, like just basically being there with Satinder Sartaj and Roop, because we've got different kind of backgrounds as well, and very different experiences as well. And there was like a premiere in South Bank and everything,
yes.
London Indian Film Festival, and It was great. I remember Roop was brilliant on set and always looking after me and always treating me like a brother. And,
yes.
Yeah, and there was Amit Channa as well, and he was great. Mm. And, you know, they were all fantastic, like on set with me and welcomed me very well. Yeah,
it must be quite a nice experience to sort of meet people, normalize some of the personalities.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
you see them just in an acting. It was guys and stuff.
I think it was a nice change. Being on a set where there was more Sikh actors, it was a nice refreshing change. But because any other set I've been to before that, I was the only Sikh Sardar, which is great in itself as well.
Yes.
But it was just nice to be performing for an English project that had. Most of the cast was brown people, and
I guess it's something for you that you could relate to because it's
100%. 100%. And it was a story that needed to be told.
Yes,
and it needed to be told from an Indian.
Yes,
from a brown person in that sense, and that was the case. Gavi done a great job, and many people loved it. It was like packed houses when it released and everything. So it was great.
Because I mean,
need more of that.
Yeah, because I've seen, and you've probably seen as well, that there's so many, not the typical Bollywood stuff, but some of the newer stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Even when they have a Sikh character, it's not Sikh.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether that's because of the pipelines, not people out there.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm like, come on, it's probably easier to get somebody with a real beard than just give them a fake one. And,
exactly.
Or is it a missed opportunity?
Yeah.
That there must be talent out there that is from, you know, authentic
place. And I believe there is. And I'm not just speaking about myself, I'm speaking about others as well. I think there's nothing wrong in choosing somebody who is not a Sikh to play a Sikh.
Yes.
There's nothing wrong in that. Mm. But if you should try to make it look as genuine as possible. You know, I've seen some films where the turban more looks like, you know, that they had like 2 minutes of time
like hat,
to wrap
it
around. Yeah. And then I've been on sets where they've used ready-made ones as well. And it's like, come on, man.
It's
you
like,
can
yeah,
do
it's
better
like
than that.
Representation, isn't it? Like, the whole purpose is that character represents something.
Exactly.
But if you're not representing in an authentic way, even if you're not using a person from that thing, you can't find somebody.
Yeah.
There's still ways to.
100%. Because I remember on the Black Prince set, because we were shooting and we had to create the world, the historical world.
Yes.
As to say, that people used to wear turbans very differently in those days. So the way I wear turban on a day-to-day is completely different to the way my character, Thakur Singh, was wearing turban. So we got in a professional, and it was Jardikala Academy.
Turban Tying Academy, yes.
Yeah, Turban Tying Academy. So we brought them in to tie the turban exactly the way Thakur Singh would have tied it. So it wasn't just me trying to work it out.
Yeah.
We had some, you know, there was an effort there made to make it look genuine and authentic. Yeah, so these are the things that make a big difference, and it should be done more often.
Yeah, 100%. So I guess that sounds like an amazing experience and another chance to be on another sort of platform.
Yeah,
with this time more of a project close to your heart, you know, you can resonate with, and people that you feel, you know, of the same community, so it doesn't feel alien. What kind of moments really stick out for you as like, wow, you know, you look back and you think, I really enjoyed that, I really appreciate that, when you look back at all of these sort of moments, which ones stick out to you the most?
I mean, honestly, I think all of them. I'm not trying to be, you know, like diplomatic here or anything. I think all of them, because you're talking to a person who has always wanted to do this.
Yes.
And you know, there was no doubt in my mind from a very young age, since secondary school. And every single opportunity I get where it gives me the opportunity to grow as an artist, I think that's always the highlight for me. You know, if there have been some experiences where I haven't been able to grow as an artist, but I've had to accept them, that's a different conversation altogether. That's just trying to make a career out of it. But the moments where I find it challenges me as an artist and it gives me the opportunity to grow as an artist are definitely all the highlights. I'd say that's the important thing for me as an actor. I want to grow as an artist. I want to be the best I can ever be as an artist. And that's what matters.
Yes.
That's what matters to me, yeah.
That's brilliant. It's inspiring. So what are the next steps for you? Are you constantly training, evolving, looking at different opportunities? Do you think there's more opportunities now, or there's more chances, or like with the way social media is, where with organizations become a bit more aware to be diverse and stuff, how do you feel about the scene and how you will evolve in this?
There definitely is more opportunities, and there definitely is some improvement there. I think the main thing that needs to change is, it's great to have actors or Sikh actors or brown actors out there who are ready to kind of show you what they can do on set. But it's even more important to have people behind the scenes, behind the camera, who are brown or who are Sikh or who are Punjabi or who are Muslim or who are Hindu, whatever category you want to use there.
Yes.
There needs to be a lot of people like that behind the scenes, and creating stories.
Yes.
Where, you know, it just doesn't, it's not box ticking, basically. And people who know how to tell those stories. You know, we get so many times we get stories being told by people who don't really know the culture.
Yes.
And that's always been the issue. Yeah. People watching it at home think, okay, but that's, I can't relate to that. That's not authentic. Yes. That's not genuine.
Yeah.
So we need a lot of people who are behind the scenes creating. That's a very important thing. I think those opportunities should be there and you can call it the broadcasters or producers, or they need to give those opportunities to people who really know those stories, and not just people who think, yeah, they'll do a decent job of that.
Yes.
You know, trying to get that culture on screen and stuff.
Yeah.
We need genuine people who know it inside out.
So do you think you'll be writing more? Or do you write?
I'm always dabbling into writing. The experience of Bangers and Cash was really that opened my eyes, it's something I enjoy as well. That's the other thing. That's the important thing. You need to enjoy it.
Yep.
And the process of writing is I enjoy it. But I find with myself, I'm a bit stubborn, and I'm a bit unless I'm enjoying or I'm feeling that project.
Yes.
I won't just sit there and write for the sake of it. I need to get excited about what I'm writing about.
It's got to resonate with you.
Yeah, and I was doing that during lockdown as well.
Yeah.
When there was no opportunities and everybody was in lockdown, sitting at home, I started writing projects as well,
yes.
Which I'll try to pick up now that we're back to some kind of normality. I'll try to pick that up, but there was a couple of things that I was training for and that was about to start that got delayed because of the lockdown. Mm. And it's all about picking that stuff up again. I was learning sign language for a project.
Okay.
Just before the pandemic.
Yes.
And I'm hoping to pick that back up this year, so there's a few things planned, and a bit of it, things I was working on before the pandemic that need to be completed, and things that I created myself as well. So hopefully it all goes to plan.
Awesome. Sounds amazing. So I guess the last bit of the show is always about what advice you would give to others who, yeah. You know, from your life lessons, from your journey into acting,
yeah.
Both theatre, film. But I think you touched on a very important point as well. It's around... there is a world beyond just the acting. You know, there's a world beyond just theatre and stuff.
100%.
There's
yeah.
all of these roles within the whole industry, which are huge
yeah.
and varied and wide.
Mm.
And again, they're probably not represented as well.
Yeah.
But you need to have diversity throughout all of these fields to
yeah.
then flourish and
yeah,
bring these 100%. Stories to life
yeah.
or help give platforms to people. But like you said, writers, you know, there must be a lot of people. There are people who are writing a lot, publishing books and stories and stuff. But it's about whether they're getting the opportunity to actually tell them stories
yeah,
and how
yeah.
to do that. So what would your advice be to the next generation or the people at the moment trying to break through in these different ways, different roles and different sort of avenues to get
yeah,
into the industry?
Yeah.
What sort of advice could you give them?
I mean, the best advice I can give, I don't think I've done enough or anything to be given advice. I'm no master in it. But I think the best advice I would like to give, though, is... If you're going to do something, really know why you want to do it. You know, break that down in your own head. You know, ask yourself questions. Have that conversation with yourself. Is, do I just want to do it because I have a passion for the craft? Or do I actually just want to be, you know, famous and the glitz and glamour is
yes.
attracting me? Because, like I said, there's other ways of, you know, attaining that. There's other ways of being famous.
Yes.
You know? So I think... the best advice I can give is first ask yourself, why is it you're doing this? And if it is because of the craft, and you genuinely want to learn the craft and grow as an artist, then training is key, I find. And I'm not saying that you have to go to RADA and you have to get into RADA and,
yes.
and the best schools out there. I'm saying there's other ways of training yourself, but training is a must. Train yourself, and once you start working on your craft, it's just like when people play instruments, you know, once you start putting those hours in,
yes.
you'll grow as an artist. You'll start learning things about yourself, your weaknesses, your strengths, giving yourself challenges. So training is very important. And once you start that journey, the biggest thing I could say to somebody who's starting out is get used to rejection.
Yeah.
That's something, you know, people
yes.
don't say enough.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's, if you're going into an audition, don't think about, you know, okay, I'm the only person here and I'm gonna get it. Just focus on what you need to do. Treat that as an opportunity to show them what you're about.
Yes.
And just remember, if you're going in for a role, there's 4,000 people, other actors who are going to be auditioning for that as well. So, you know, don't be disheartened by any rejection. Don't be disheartened by any kind of what you would call failures. I don't
yeah.
call them failures, but
yeah.
but just treat them as an opportunity to learn from and just move on. And I'd say, yeah, just be sure and go out and out.
Mm.
You know, go all out, yeah.
Brilliant. So, yeah, I think there's so much wisdom in what you said. But also that seeps into all of the things you talked about in your journey. Yeah. So you can relate it through all of the things we've discussed in the podcast today. Because, I think it totally resonates with, you know, failures aren't failures.
Yeah.
Sometimes they say the most successful people are the ones who fail the most.
Exactly.
Because they're not...
It's true.
They're a failure if you don't learn from it and you keep making the same mistakes.
Exactly.
Yeah. But if you're learning from it and then making a different mistake and then learning from it, that's an improvement.
Exactly.
And like you say, it's like... it's the rejection part is about expectation.
100%.
We almost, for some reason, we're inclined to demand a successful result, whether we've done the work or not done the work. Even if we thought we worked really hard for something, like you say, there's X amount of people out there. They may be working harder than you. They may be naturally gifted, but then even bettering their craft on a better basis. That means you have more to progress with. Sometimes that role isn't meant for you.
You're 100%.
Like an interview is a two-way process. It's not a one-way thing.
Exactly.
Like you interview for an organization, you think, actually, what is the organization like? Do I fit in this? Not just them asking if you fit. And if they reject you, maybe it's a good thing because they're not wasting your time, because they know that the environment isn't going to be one that you flourish in, because maybe the role requires people who are very pragmatic.
Rather than somebody. And that's another very important thing on somebody who wants to be an actor or actress. So when you're auditioning for a role, and if you get rejected, you may have done, you know, the greatest piece in that audition room. But if you are rejected, it's not always because you performed bad.
Yes.
There are 101 other reasons why you may have been rejected.
Exactly.
It's not always about... you must have performed bad.
Yeah.
And that's the misconception out there, where when people start out and they get rejected, they walk out thinking, okay, so then I must not be that good then.
Yeah, you get knocked down.
Yeah, and you get knocked down. But it's not always about you know, how you performed. You could always be rejected for any other kind of reasons. And it could be... the most random reason out there, like you're not tall enough, or you know, you just didn't have chemistry with the other actor.
Exactly.
You know, this could be 100 reasons.
And it could be like just the aura of the act, the role, the persona, the presence and stuff. Yeah.
And stop trying to guess that.
Yeah.
Just do your thing and go and leave.
And is the industry quite good with feedback?
That's why I'm saying that, because they're not.
Because you can imagine they've got a lot to go through, so they probably don't.
That is the reason why I'm giving that advice, because you won't be told this is the reason why you got rejected today.
Yeah,
you know, unless you've got a really good rapport with that casting director.
Yes,
most of the time you won't be told why you got rejected. So, and then that's what causes you to go away and start making your own narratives up in your head.
Exactly.
So just leave that. Just kind of go and. I don't want to get too philosophical here, but me being from the Sikh faith, one thing Sikhi always teaches is not to attach yourself to things that don't matter too much. So, you know, there's the word for those listeners, it's called moh, and it's called attachment, and it's classed as a sin for you to be attached to something worldly. So, I mean... Sikhi is something that's helped me a lot during my journey. It kept me grounded, and I've tried to be as grounded as I can.
Yes.
And patience is key.
Yeah.
But just don't get too attached.
Definitely. That I think it helps in life.
Yeah.
I think the Sikh principles are there to sort of help you navigate the challenges in life and put them.
They have helped a lot. Yeah.
And especially when you're trying to do something that not many people have treaded the path.
Yeah.
I think it's been absolute honor to have you on the podcast. I think there's been so much to learn from your journey, and as a journey of, you know, taking ownership of what you want to do.
Thank you.
Regardless of how difficult those choices have been, because there must be a lot of people that just don't have the courage to do that, or not able to do that, because the pressure is too much, especially in certain cultures.
There is.
So, yeah, you know, there's power we can get from seeing the choices, and then you seeing through, and then, you know, you're ultimately doing something that you like doing.
Yeah,
100%. That's very rare.
Yeah.
Although the majority should be doing that.
It's
very rare, isn't it?
Exactly.
Because it's almost to do that, you're going to have to face so many obstacles, be resilient, deal with rejection.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to attach yourself to something stronger than everything else, like
100%, you know,
principles
yeah.
of faith
yeah.
and stuff like we do in yeah. Sinki, to keep you going and yeah. Keep on progressing and learning yeah. those lessons.
Just do your best and
yeah.
and leave it let to God.
Rest.
Yeah.
Yeah, let the rest be in the ether.
Yeah, yeah, that's it.
And you know, I love the way like I was just noting down all these things, you know, the pivotal points
mm-hmm.
in your life and conversation and stuff. And a lot of it's about, you know, you taking initiative and then, you know, you left it, you went to uni,
mm-hmm.
you met Hassan
mm-hmm.
and you got the opportunity, you know, mm-hmm. it came back, but you had you not been strong enough to take the opportunity and see
mm-hmm.
it through,
yeah.
your life would have been a different path.
100%.
You know,
yeah.
maybe you'd be a lawyer yeah. and be like, oh, this is boring.
yeah, exactly, yeah.
And then
exactly.
that led to Royal Albert Hall, you know,
yeah.
you need the courage to do that, but
mm-hmm.
you from a place of passion.
Mm-hmm.
And then you kind of, you know, committed to this path by
mm-hmm.
seeing that through and saying,
yeah.
like, this is it. Then
yeah.
you realize I need to get training. You did that. And then, you know, you got the opportunity. Then you produce something, like you said, over breakfast. And then
yeah.
that became
yeah,
you
know, yeah.
15 and 4,000 applications. And
yeah.
then that led you to the Black Prince. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
when you look back, you know, the dots you can connect back.
Yeah,
like
you
Steve
can,
Jobs
yeah.
says that, you know,
exactly.
you look back, you figure out how it's all connected. But going forward, you can't.
Yeah.
But all you can do is continue to do what you've been doing to get
yeah,
these
100%,
things. So
yeah.
did you have help with a mentor or coach or anything like that along the way? Is it hard to find people like that?
Mean, I wouldn't say, yeah, I had somebody specifically. My mentor, my coach has always been, and I know it may sound cheesy right now, but
yeah.
it has been the Guru Granth Sahib
yes.
Ji, and Sikhi
yeah.
Has been my mentor, my coach, and it's taught me a lot how to deal with things, how to move forward,
yeah.
And how to be happy with what I've been given and what I've got, and you know,
yeah.
not to get too caught up in it as well.
Yes.
So yeah, I think the credit I would like to give is to the Gurbani,
yeah.
and then if there's anybody who inspired me from the get go, it was Craig Jones.
Yes.
And yeah, that's all I'd say. Nobody specific out there who's advising me.
Yeah.
Other than experience and life experience.
Yeah, 100%. I think that, you know, we're fortunate to come from the Sikh faith, which is what a universal set of principles that can
yeah.
help the whole world, really.
Yeah.
And, you know, when we think of, like, you gave credit to your teacher, our gurus are a teacher.
Yeah.
Like the world teachers.
Yeah.
But they are literally teaching you how to be happy and content.
100%, yeah.
With life, but then not be... you know, but stand out, we're to empower us to stand out
yep,
and to
yep.
be something that we believe in. And if we have to tread that path alone to establish it in the first place,
yeah.
we do that.
Exactly.
That's exactly what our gurus did
exactly.
as well.
Yeah.
So we follow by example.
Yeah, 100%.
And definitely yeah. we get power from there. But yeah, it's been an absolute pleasure.
No, it's been a pleasure. Thank
and,
you for inviting
yeah,
me. Yeah,
we wish you all the success in the future and look
thank
out
you,
for
thank
more
you.
More big roles for you and opportunities to showcase your talent and skills and knowledge. And yeah, we'll put some contact links for people to see your work and
yep,
sort of
yep.
how they can touch base with you
yep.
on social media and stuff and on the episode details and stuff. But we'd love to have you on the podcast in the future as well.
Yeah, 100%. It will be great to have this again. I've really enjoyed it, and
yeah.
What you're doing is great. You know, if you're mentioning that, you know, me being a Sikh Sardar doing acting is different. I think it's great that you're doing. You're doing this as a Sikh Sardar as well. So,
thank you.
You know, it's great to see people are branching out now. And
yeah.
It's not just all about lawyers and accountants. And
yeah, well, and, you yeah. say that. I'm an accountant.
Yeah, but you're still branching out. You're using this skill and
yeah.
and you've realized that you have something there. And I think it's
yeah.
awesome.
I think, again, it comes back to our teachings, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
We are in a place of privilege at all times. We just got to understand that privilege.
100%,
and help
yeah.
to pass it to the next generation so they can go beyond.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, it feels like that's the whole purpose of mankind,
100%.
Is to progress.
Yeah,
and
100%, grow.
The people who gain the experience have to pass it on to the other so they don't make the same mistakes.
Yeah.
They make better, newer mistakes and
yeah.
go and take, you know, things further for the betterment of society.
Exactly,
really.
Exactly.
And continue with that. Positivity breeds positivity. But it's been an absolute pleasure.
Yeah, thank you. Thank
you.
Take care. Top man. Take care.